Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again, coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel better about the whole thing. I hope you do. It's been a wonderful hour so far. I'm excited about the 57th anniversary. The charter members, former members, present members, members to be. Yeah, they're out there. They're coming today. I'm so glad you're here to celebrate this wonderful, wonderful hour. I know that you already know, because I've told you a lot of times, that one of my favorite beatitudes is, blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. So I think I've used enough runway. Would you open your Bible? Oh, by the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in Psalm 48. As you're finding your place in the 48th Psalm, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I know that you're happy with me that it's settled right here on this earth, this wonderful book that we call the Bible. I'm going to read Psalm 48. I'm going to ask you to be very attentive to the reading of God's word and to the preaching of God's word. Now, folks, this is anniversary day. If I take a few minutes extra, you're not going to get mad at me. And if you do, I'm going to take it up with God. I have a message that I feel like we need to hear. It may take a little longer than usual, but there are two kinds of preachers I do not believe in: women preachers and long-winded preachers. So you draw your conclusion. Psalm 48, and I'll read it after we pray. Our Father, how grateful we are for this wonderful hour that brings back so many memories to our hearts and minds of the days gone by, some days of sorrow and tragedy and heartache, but many days of joy and happiness and rejoicing for all the good things you have done. Now bless the reading of your word and the preaching. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise upon the ends, unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my text, the psalmist tells of the glory and beauty of Zion. That's the poetic name for Jerusalem. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Now then the psalmist That's in the first three verses that he tells us of the glory of Mount Zion, Jerusalem. Then he praises God for all that God has done for his people. That's in verses 8 through 11. I'll not take time to read these verses again. I would recommend you read them again when you get home. But he emphasizes the temple in verse number 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is our Zion. This is our Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, Worth Baptist Church is a shining star in this community. The God of the Bible is our God, and he will be our God forever and forever. Verse 14, for this God is our God forever and forever. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I'm so glad he's our God today. And he will be our guide unto death. Now that word unto death does not mean that he's going to stop at the door of death, take us that far, and then put us on our own. Oh no. It means he will go into and through death with us. Did not Jesus say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? We can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Look around and see what God has done. The psalmist said in Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, they replied, and we rejoice because of it. Can I tell you, my friend, today that our God is the God of creation? He's the God of the covenants. He's the God of the consummation of all things. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of all grace and mercy and peace and comfort and kindness and compassion and love and light and life and liberty and power and majesty and dominion and goodness and greatness and gentleness. He is the God of eternality. Hallowed be his name. That's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. So you just sit back and relax. I want you to know that my message on this momentous occasion of the 57th anniversary of our dear church is entitled, Tell It to the Generation to Come. Look again at verses 12 and 13. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. My friends, we have a great deal to tell to the generation following. We have come from a humble beginning in a storefront building on Wichita Street to this magnificent edifice valued at several millions of dollars. May I stop here long enough to say and divert the one thing that Worth Baptist Church has been known for 57 years is the preaching of the pure, uncompromising, unadulterated, unedited gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would be bold enough to say that if the time ever comes, and God forbid, that any other gospel would be preached from this pulpit, Ichabod would be written over the portals of this place. Our church has brought many souls to Christ through the years. Many boys and girls have been enlisted in the bus ministry. Thank God for the bus ministry. I met a man in the hall this morning who said, I was a bus kid in Tom Wallace's church. He's a grown man now, big man. Too big for me to handle. I said, thank you, sir. I'm saying to you this morning, the little children are important to God. Don't despise the day of little things, for God is in the midst of them. Millions of dollars have been invested in missions around the world. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And verse 1 reminds us, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Little wonder that Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory, watch this now, in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Throughout all ages? That's what it says. Well, how many ages are there? I have no idea, and you don't either. Whatever how many ages there will be, God will be getting glory through Jesus Christ in the church. Thank God for the church today. Now, humanly speaking, honor to whom honor is due. In the providence of God, my brother Bob gathered a handful of people together and organized this church in 1954. He led this church to move to Wilbarger Street, where was built a fine sanctuary. He pastored faithfully for 7 years and resigned to take our dad's church after my dad's death in Danville, Virginia. In the providence of God, you called me at that time to serve as your pastor. And for 35 years, I served the best I knew how until my retirement in 1997, leading you in 3 building programs, leading you to bring missions and missionaries to the forefront. In the providence of God, when I retired, we called Pastor Weaver. He has done a yeoman's job for these 14 years. Pastor, I salute you. I salute you for keeping Pastor, for keeping the old ship of Zion plowing through the turbulent and murky theological waters of this Babylonian world system in which we live. Nothing has changed. The gospel is the same. The music, the preaching, it's gone forward like it started 57 years ago. Thank God for that. Now, what do we have to tell that Worth Baptist Church has believed and preached for 57 years? Well, right up front, we should tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, precious, perfect, pure, pontifical word of the living God, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I have proof, and it's in the book, and it's internal evidence, 2 Timothy 3:16. I gave it to you a moment ago. All scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why do I emphasize all? Because there are some who say that just parts of the Bible, you know, the old Dalmatian theory, in spots, a spot here and a spot here and a spot there. But the Bible testifies of itself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and we preach that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. I have proof, and it's in the book. Old man Isaiah lifted his prophetic pen 750 years before Christ was born, and he wrote in his 7th chapter, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We can tell the generation to come that Worth Baptist Church believes and preaches that the church is a local, visible body of baptized believers, and that it was built by Jesus Christ himself. Visible, I emphasize that. I'm not looking into faces of spirits, invisible people this morning. The church, ladies and gentlemen, is not an indefinable, indescribable, invisible mass of ectoplasm floating around somewhere looking for a place to land. I'm looking into the faces of the body, the believers in Jesus Christ that compose the local, visible church. I can remember back that far, a little over 60 years ago, when I was a student in the Bible Baptist Seminary. Dr. Louis Sensminger said to us young men, "Now, young men, if you go out and preach an invisible church, you'll have one." And some of them did. And they do. Thank God I have the proof that Jesus, listen, in his own words, here I go, quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. The reason I love to quote him, I know I'll never have to be misunderstood when I quote him. Never misinterpreted, never apologize. He said, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, not upon Peter, the little pebble, the little stone, but upon this rock, the huge stone, the slab, a reference to himself, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that the mission of the church is not to reform society, but to evangelize the world. I have proof. It's in the book. In the words of Jesus, here I go, quoting Jesus again. I really love to quote Jesus. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth." Now, if Jesus were here today, he would go something like this. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Fort Worth, in all of Texas." I don't know whether to say Oklahoma or Arkansas. Probably both of them. "And unto the ends of the earth." That's what it's all about. Evangelizing the world. Sending missionaries to the ends of the earth. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and we preach and have for 57 years that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The proof is in the book. And here it is, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and we preach that there is one God and one system of doctrines. May I say at this point, any doctrine that's not based on this book is a false doctrine. It should be rejected, renounced, and repudiated. I have proof. It's in the book, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Saul, Paul was a Southerner. He said it just like we do. You guys from Tennessee know what I'm talking about. Raised up over there by the hair of your head. One God. in all of you. And I want to tell you something, my friend. That God is not Allah. That God is Jehovah Hoshea, the God of salvation. One God. One God and Father of us all. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that all men are sinners. I have proof of that. It's in the book, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and we preach that Jesus Christ is coming to resurrect the dead and rapture the living. I have proof. It's in the book. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that following the great tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, a time like unto which there never has been and never will be again, when in the end the blood will run to the horse's bridle for 200 miles, men will cry out to die, when hailstones weighing 100 pounds will fall on them. Someone said, well, in this enlightened age, you ought not to preach judgment. It's in the book. Listen, God wrote it, and I quote it. Let him speak for himself. Here it is. Jesus is going to come and reign in splendor and righteousness and glory upon this earth for 1,000 years. And the proof is in the book. John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John went on to say in the 20th chapter of the Revelation, verse number 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Get your reigning britches on. And if you don't know how to ride a horse, you better learn, because you're going to be on one. My problem is when the horse goes up, I go down. When I go down, the horse, that's a bad problem. But I'm learning. And by that time, I'll be so perfected and so much like Jesus, I'll be right behind him, leading with him the great hordes of heaven that are coming back to reign with him on earth. Now, I've just finished reading again. And I emphasize again because through the years, I've read it a lot of times. One of the most famous debates that was ever held was between J. Frank Norris and Foy E. Wallace. There were four petitions in that debate. One of them Jesus Christ will come to reign literally on the earth for 1,000 years. Norris took the affirmative. Wallace took the negative. By the way, this was debated in 1934. November 4, 5, and 6. 15 hours. Thousands of people came to hear the debate. I have one of the original copies of the books printed in 1935. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I just read it again the other week. And you know what? This is the most amazing thing I ever read or reread outside the Bible. And it was Bible, by the way. Dr. Norris took a passage of Scripture, listen, from all 66 books of the Bible. All 66 books. He took passages of Scripture and quoted them to prove that Jesus Christ would reign upon the earth in a literal kingdom, on a literal throne, in a literal city for a literal 1,000 years. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. What a wonderful Savior. To him be all honor and glory and majesty and dominion, both now and ever. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that all things are coming together. And we can tell them that we are redeemed, listen, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. I have the proof. It's in the book. Hebrews chapter 9 at verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that Jesus is able to save any and all who come to him, come to God by him. I have the proof, and it's in the book. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost, all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and we preach that there's only one way to heaven. Did you get that? Just one way. Well, do you have any proof? I sure do. It's in the book. And it's in the words of Jesus. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. We can tell the generation to come that we believe and preach that God's time for salvation is always the present time. Amen. Hear me, my unsaved friend. If you're today without Christ, now is the time. Have any proof? Yes, I do. It's right here in the book. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Please don't miss this. It is not only a day of salvation, but it is a day of condemnation. Because simply put, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, You don't have to wait to the judgment day to be condemned. You are condemned right now. And I have proof of that. John 3:18. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, in conclusion, I have here a personal invitation from God, sent by special delivery to the mailbox of your heart. Oh, and by the way, I ought to tell you, it's written in red. And I ought to tell you, it's postpaid. You can't pay a dime on it. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I admonish you, open the mailbox of your heart. Receive the invitation and act upon it. And here it is. I have proof from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wow. You say, but preacher, you don't know my past. Now, I know I don't know your past, but Jesus does. But I want to tell you, you don't have any past that he can't make present and make future and cleanse you and wash you and purge you and forgive you and heal you and sanctify you and justify you until the day he glorifies you. Let's stand, please.